It's an odd recession we're in with wisps of inflation. I'm David Brancaccio. A court in California has told Uber and Lyft that those drivers are employees, not independent contractors, temporarily at least. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab is here. Kristen, California has a law to this effect that's under challenge?
Yeah, a new law called Assembly Bill 5 went into effect at the start of the year, and it did reclassify gig workers as employees. But Uber and Lyft have continued to put their drivers down as independent contractors. Uber has tried to skirt the law by letting workers set their own rates so the company can say drivers are truly contractors who work for themselves. So this preliminary injunction is the state basically calling these rideshare companies out and saying, hey, what you're doing is not legal and you need to comply.
So what then happens now?
Lyft and Uber have 10 days to appeal. If the judge sides with the state, the companies could owe penalties and compensation to drivers. And this isn't the only thing the gig economy is keeping an eye on right now. In November, California voters will likely see a ballot measure from these companies as an exemption that classifies app-based drivers as contractors. Obviously, rideshare companies want to win this, or it will cost them a lot more to operate.
What does this mean, though, for the whole gig economy idea?
Well, California is Uber and Lyft's biggest market, and though this preliminary injunction targets them, it sends a message to other gig-based companies like food delivery apps, because it would be a big step in forcing these companies to pay minimum wage and overtime, plus other things like vehicle mileage. And experts say this could push states to do the same. For riders, it could mean higher costs.
All right, Kristen, thank you. You turn your back for a second and look what happens. A moment of inflation. There's word this morning that wholesale prices jumped 0.6% in July, with wholesale energy up more than 5% in the month. Let's turn to David Kelly, the chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have this awful economy. I stopped even worrying about inflation, yet suddenly today at the wholesale level is some.
Well, that's right. And in fact, this is a very unusual recession because usually you've got a whole pile of supply but no demand. But actually, in this recession, it's quite difficult to supply stuff. We've got manufacturing companies running into lots of problems. And of course, in the service sector, you've got to have all this PPP equipment and other restrictions. So there are a lot of things that are pushing up costs for business. And I think that is showing up in a little bit of inflation.
And if you're trying to manage your personal investment stuff, I mean, this is significant information that if your bet is inflation will never go up, you need to be a little careful.
Well, absolutely, because, of course, this pandemic will come to an end, thankfully, eventually. And when it does, with all the stimulus in the economy, inflation could pick up. And I think that that's got two really important implications. One is if you're investing a lot in long-term bonds, you could lose some money as those interest rates go up. But second of all, if you're thinking about taking out a long-term mortgage, this might not be a bad time to do it, because I do think the mortgage rates may go up in the aftermath of the recession, just because inflation will be a little bit hotter than people think.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Stock in Kodak up 2% now after falling 28% yesterday. This after the government put on hold a $750 million contract to make COVID-19 drugs. U.S. officials are investigating how the word of that deal got out early, causing the stock to skyrocket and creating a big profit, at least on paper, for Kodak executives who apparently got new stock options a day earlier. We have this historic downturn happening and people need work. And did we mention climate change as part of our Reimagining the Economy series? Let's turn to Saul Griffith, CEO of a research outfit called Other Lab. He's one author of a plan to create lots of jobs by taking all the bad carbon out of the U.S. economy within just 15 years. It would be, he told me, a World War II level of mobilization.
You know, if we are serious about what we should be doing for the planet, this is the level of effort required to do it. And if we contextualize it in terms of COVID, this is a historic opportunity, like the Great Depression, like World War II, to do sort of the massive infrastructure spending required to do a job like that. And it will create the jobs we need And ultimately, we will have a stronger, more resilient, better prepared nation in the future with a healthier populace if we do it.
When I think of the austerity needed to lower the chances of climate catastrophe, you know, I think of sacrifice, but you go around saying the process would be joyous?
I think your first proposition is really not quite correct. We still have this historic dialogue about efficiency when what we really need to do is have a dialogue about transformation. And if you sit down and you think about what happens when we electrify the majority of the economy, turns out we only need 50% of the energy we think we need. And that's without doing any of the things we traditionally think of as efficiency. So that means we keep our cars the same, we just electrify them, we keep our homes the same size, and we just electrify the heat with heat pumps. And so it's a little bit easier than we think because we need less energy than we need today to do it. And most of the things we have to gain are things that we all want to gain. We want cleaner air, we want cleaner water. Nearly everything we have to win and gain. I don't think there's a lot of austerity absolutely necessary.
And you get net jobs out of this? Because you're going to lose some.
Yeah. So if you really do it aggressively, as we need to hit the appropriate climate targets, we probably create as many as 25 million new jobs in the near term. And in the long term, we'll have 5 million or a few more jobs than we do today in the energy industries that support the economy. So for the initial build-up, a giant increase in jobs because we have to build out the capacity to make all of the machines, all of the electric vehicles, all of the heat pumps, all of the wind turbines, all of the solar cells and batteries. And in the long term, all of those machines require maintenance. The lifetime of these machines is 20, 25 years, so we have to continue to maintain and reinstall them. And that will mean sustained increase in jobs in the energy industry into the future.
Yeah, I mean, on that last point, we should spare a thought for the existing jobs in the fossil fuel industry that would be lost.
Absolutely. And I think we should be very sympathetic. You know, I think we have an aggressive conversation to the fossil fuel workers where we should be thanking them for a century of service and cheap and convenient energy. But remember, their jobs won't all go away tomorrow. They'll go away slowly over the course of a generation, and they'll be replaced by more jobs that pay just as well or better, also in energy. And many of the jobs will be similar. Skilled trades jobs, jobs driving trucks, doing installation and maintenance, jobs that people can be proud of, building infrastructure.
Saul Griffith is CEO of Other Lab and one of the authors of a report done in association with a nonprofit called Rewiring in America. That report called Mobilizing for a Zero Carbon America, Jobs, 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 and More Jobs. Dr. Griffith, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, that total decarbonization plan has an option for some nuclear power mixed in during a transition period, despite those risks. But Griffith says he doubts if it would be cost-effective. Listen out for our Economy Reimagined one-hour special on many public radio stations nationwide. If you miss it on the air, go to our homepage. Click on the Economy What Now button. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.